Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 9th episode of Raw Talks podcast with me and my husband Simba here from Living with the Spirit, Chiang Mai, Thailand. Today we have a follow-up episode with Joan from last week when we were discussing the people-pleasing and the nervous system response. And we were... what came out of that episode was that when we stop people-pleasing and start to set healthy boundaries, a very, very common emotion that arises is anger. And when we start to set the healthy boundaries, the anger can be very explosive and very strong, and we don't know really what to do with it. So then we tiptoed around it a little bit last time and said that that's a whole episode of its own. And here we are. How to express healthy anger with Joan McDonald and Simba and Sarah. Great. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's really great to be back with you both.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. And with your community that's here.
Yeah.
Or going to be listening to this. So thank
you. Yeah, we got a lot of positive responses from the last episode. So now it's been a whole thing that we discuss people pleasing and the nervous system response and the behaviors around people pleasing. So it's a very good timing of this episode because people are expressing that there's anger there.
Great.
So, yeah, let's dive right in.
Okay, sure. Well, I actually really like the topic of anger because I think anger gets a terrible rap, you know. Anger's got a really bad reputation. And I think that anger actually, in many ways, is a gift.
Yeah.
If we're able to express it in a positive way. In a way that is building rather than harmful. So, and I think part of the reason it gets a terrible rap is because we've been so conditioned, at least most people I know have been conditioned right from being a young person through their family experience and school experience and societal experience that you don't express anger and you suppress it and you try to control it and we need to manage it. And I think the challenge with that is that we actually, in that process of learning to do that, we lose touch with our anger sometimes. We don't even know we're angry. And that loss of touch with our anger actually is not healthy for us at all because it's there, but it's just being held down and suppressed. Because we cannot live as human beings on this planet and not have anger. There's just no way.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a side note here. That's a very interesting topic on its own. The fact that we are kind of taught that or trained, I don't know where it comes from, that we only want the positive emotions. We don't want the anger and the fear and the anxiety. No, don't want to do that. And, yeah, that's where the word healthy comes from, because it's all a gift. All of the emotions are telling us something and plays a huge role in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think that, you know, anger in my own experience, I'm sure in others who've been able to come to a place of being able to recognize their anger and then be able to have the behaviors and strategies to express it, discover some of these gifts. And many people maybe listening have at points in times discovered these gifts. And one of them, I think, is that it actually improves our lives and our relationships, you know? I mean...
you have to elaborate on this one.
Yeah. I know. Because it's empowering to have our anger. And not only is it empowering... it actually, if you can move through a situation where there's anger, maybe on just your part or on the part of another, and you're able to actually move through it, what people experience is a greater intimacy with that person, more closeness, more connection.
Wow, this is so interesting. Just 2 days ago, it just came out of my mouth that conflict is a good thing because it brings us closer.
Absolutely. It does. And it is, if we can do it in a way in which it's not
in a healthy way, right? Yeah.
And it is, absolutely. And
with friction, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the beginning of anger, right?
Yeah.
That little friction is that very little beginning of, there's something happening here. And we just usually don't pay much attention often to it, right? Yeah. And I think the other thing with anger, and if we can interact with our anger and express it in a healthy way, then there is a sense of greater integrity in ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're actually being real. Like, this is really who I am in this moment. And it's actually connected to something really important. And it's connected to either some sense of injustice that I'm experiencing, somebody's perhaps, crossed a boundary with me, somebody is doing something that, in my view, is hurtful, harmful to me. All those things are important to connect with. So boundaries tell me anger tells me something like, this isn't quite right. There's something going on here that is not settling inside of me. And it's something as important that I need to look at it, process it, address it in my life.
So when these things happen, I mean, the anger can come from, so this is a question, this or a statement that you can reflect on, that anger can come from either that it's a boundary that actually being crossed, or that something is triggering like suppressed anger, like old suppressed anger that is just like looking for a way out. It's like energy that is stored in the body, unprocessed from maybe people pleasing from many years, or being abused or whatever. It's like the anger comes, or controlled also. It's like anger, it feels like everyone has suppressed, unexpressed anger. So it feels like it can come from many different sources. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, I think the intensity of the anger is greater when it's triggered from past experiences that I've suppressed over a long time, right?
Yeah.
You know, if I keep suppressing it, that energy keeps building and building and building and building. Yeah. So I think, but in the moment of that anger being triggered, there was something that occurred that actually connected the person back to that those earlier experiences, right?
Yeah.
And and I mean, you know, I think as we talked about this the last time around, well, what happens then? Like, what happens in our nervous system? And I think that's an important thing to look at, because it's part of the fight response, the fight response. And people say, well, what's that fight response? Well, that fight response is anything from being irritated, you said, right up to rage.
Yeah.
And that fight response gets activated in us, as we know, when we're under some level of threat. In our autonomic nervous system says, okay, there's a threat here, and it starts to become activated in us. And you know, I think that when I say threat, often people think a physical threat, you know, that's the only threat. But truly, most of us don't live in countries or communities where we're physically, well, maybe some people do more now than ever, but normally or typically we haven't been living in places that are really that physically unsafe, but definitely unsafe in terms of socially unsafe.
Yeah.
And that can trigger it, like, you know, something about our ego response, like, or our self-image gets criticized, or, you know, I think anything that sort of comes from a society, our perspective on ourselves, and we're being challenged by that, can create anger in us. And as well as people crossing a boundary that's important, like, moves us more into some kind of, more of a sense of betrayal or violation or whatever. So I think our task actually is to try to restore what's important to us in relation to that situation, and without actually crossing somebody else's boundary at the same time. Often our reaction to feeling that anger actually then does to another what we feel we maybe has been done to us.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What do you say, Simba?
Yeah, I agree with what you said, definitely. I personally, I usually look at it as a boundary is a good thing, like that anger comes from some kind of perceived, might not even be a violation of boundary, might just be a perceived violation because I'm carrying a memory from the past. But I'm also looking at it many times as a need. Mm-hmm. There's something I cannot express. I'm not being heard. I'm not being seen. So there can be a lot of confusion from that. That can come out in a very aggressive form, like, see me, come on, I'm here. You raise your voice, or you kind of just take up a lot of space. And I think what I've seen a lot of anger is starting early, usually, like a lot of it, like you mentioned, John, like it, most of it started early because, you know, when you're happy or if you're doing something when you're a kid, it's like, oh, you're so happy, it's so nice. And if you're angry, it's like, don't do that. Sit down. Be quiet.
Go to your room.
Yeah, but then you got all this stuff bubbling up and you're like, what do I do with this?
Yeah, the child doesn't know.
No. And not many of us had parents.
I would just say that the parents doesn't know either.
But they didn't know either.
Yeah. No.
And so no one's taught us how to honor our own anger, honor it, because I think it is we need to honor our anger, that it is a message, as you're saying, that something's wrong in us. And then be able to catch it before it gets high, intense anger, and then express it. And that our expression is one that is, validated by others. So I think it's a whole area in our social conditioning that we have done a really not a good job with.
Yeah, we can agree on that. I mean, most people we come across, or every single person that we come across that we work with has the suppressed anger.
Yeah.
I mean, because, a conversation that I'm hearing a lot, is that it starts so early, you know, that we are being, controlled or like put in a box or put in a system, like with the school system, mm-hmm. like we're kids, we're forced to sit still, we need to listen to someone who's not very fun to listen to, we need to learn all the capitals of the countries in Europe or the different states. It's like kids don't want to do that. It's like, and we, it was a very interesting discussion I had with one person, like really explaining in depth what happens to a child when you control them like that, and mm-hmm. that there is an anger that builds up inside because it's energy that is suppressed. It's like the child wants to run and play and have fun, and now we need to sit down, be quiet, learn to write, learn to read, learn the different states, and then because of that, anger builds up.
Exactly. And you know, you just reminded me just this week, I where I live, there's a 3-year-old, and he's the most beautiful young Thai little boy. And for the first time, we were together, and something happened with, I don't think any of us know. He took his leg and he stomped it like down, like boom. And everybody was like, oh, you know, and it was like, but what happened was, it was as if people sort of not laughed at him, but made it like it was no big deal with him, mm-hmm. You know, and it was accepted as he was asserting something in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it was like to celebrate that.
Yeah.
That he could assert himself. Mm-hmm. And he was asserting himself in a way that in terms of the body, you know, in it wasn't just, he didn't use any words. It was all in his body that he did this. He stomped his leg and he moved his head, and it was like there was, and my understanding is about the energy you talked about, that anger energy. It actually comes, that energy in my training in bioenergetics is that it comes up the spine and out through the eyes.
Yeah.
Out through the the arms and the legs.
Yeah.
And so that was his, and that was actually the very first time, and I've been here almost 2 months, probably on Thursday, that I saw him have that expression.
Yeah.
You know, he may have at other times when I'm not with him.
Yeah,
but
clearly.
It was really, I thought, yes, go for it. You know, it was beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
You know, that he had that expression of his anger.
Yeah, because we're so not allowed to be angry. But we are also not taught how to express our boundaries in a healthy way. And I was, it was interesting what you mentioned previously, that to set your boundaries and express healthy anger without crossing anyone else's boundaries and without hurting anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
This is also something that we will dive into when you and I have the more shamanic talk about mm-hmm. energy with the... Yeah, how that works, but it's super because with anger, I experience that it all very, very often comes with a friend, and the friend of entitlement, like I am right, you are wrong, so that's why I can go badonkers on you because I'm right, and exactly. Then you're actually hurting the other person energetically. And emotionally, and then the words can be hurting in themselves, but the energetical projection is super strong, and it is—it's actually causing harm to the other body without, mm-hmm. like, throwing punches or things like that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that we don't understand that. You know, I mean, the intensity. I mean, you can tell if you walk in a room, and there's anger going on in that room.
Yeah,
you don't have to know anything about what's really happening, but you can usually people can experience it. They go, whoa, there's something going on here.
Yeah,
you know, and it's that intensity of energy that people are experiencing, right? And I think that energy then affects us. It affects our nervous system.
Oh yeah.
And so what happens is the interactions, because our nervous systems interact with each other. And if that anger is there, that will impact the people around us.
Yeah.
And then they'll start to feel irritated, or they'll start to feel their own anger start to rise. May not even know why it's happening, right? Unless they're able to be really grounded in their own body and in their nervous system, being really being more socially engaged.
Yeah.
But if they're already sort of activated in their nervous system, boom, then, and that's what happens when we get this mass sort of anger thing going on with people, groups of people.
Yeah, yeah, people get involved. You know, if it's a fight, people get involved because mm-hmm. they get activated too, and then they try to hold it, and then boom, they're involved.
Yeah, exactly.
What would you say, Simba, about how to express healthy anger?
Mm.
Yeah, so, well, my background is martial arts, right? I did that for many years, and maybe I'm going to step on some toes now. That's not really expressing or releasing anger many times, right? That's handling the energy of the anger, and you learn how to feel safe so you don't have to go to that area. But, you know, there's a lot to connect to anger, that you're punching bags or pillows or whatever, but I wouldn't really say that releases the anger, just for the reason that you said, Joan.
Mm-hmm.
When I send that out, it's like a tennis game, right? I send something to you and you send it back faster to me, and just usually goes back and forward. Even if I do it alone in a room, someone else comes in and picks it up, right? So it's kind of like you're going to fart in a room and close the door. Everyone will feel it, and it will affect everyone in different ways. So I think I really aim to look at it as a need. What's the need?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How can I reciprocate this need, or how can I, you know, both for myself, but also when I'm working with others, like, what is the need? You know, what is it that wasn't reciprocated? What wasn't met? And also try to make them able to not say, I am angry, I'm feeling anger, right? It's an expression, right? So that's really what I look at when I see express healthy anger, that I can express it and be reciprocated in it without being shamed or punished, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anytime, like you said, and as soon as someone feels anger, other people feel triggered because they might feel attacked or they don't know how to handle, right? Someone is all over the place, so to say, and they don't know how to handle it. So yeah. I think that's kind of look at it. That's a need, right? How to mm-hmm. how to satiate that need and have them feel it.
Exactly.
So that could be a need from the present moment or mm-hmm. a need that wasn't fulfilled
in the past.
Like in the past.
Yes.
That gets triggered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what you said, Joan, was that the more explosive the anger is, the more it's more suppressed. So if we don't have as much suppressed anger and we get angry in the moment, it will be like lighter or could be, of course, depending mm-hmm. on what the boundary is.
Yes.
But like generally, because what we want to do is to help people navigate their own anger, because they mm-hmm. will listen to what we say and they will apply it to themselves. And like, wow, my boyfriend gets like, boom. And then realizing that he is probably in a situation where he is not aware of the amount of suppressed anger that he has from the past and not. But and I mean, if we have that much anger, something happened to us when we were previously that wasn't nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an expression of hurt.
Mm-hmm. Hurt or injustice or
yeah,
even fear. Like a lot of times, anger is a cover-up sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? It's sort of on top of things like sadness,
yeah.
fear.
Yeah.
Often, you know, yeah. It can cover up more vulnerable kinds of feelings.
Yeah.
In some
ways. Because it's not safe to be vulnerable.
Exactly. And it's not safe to, and that again goes back to when we're not in that safe place in our nervous system, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it's very difficult to be able to then suddenly be vulnerable and talk about your feelings around being angry or you know what's happening to you that causes this anger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, how do you work with this is important. And one is, I think, to begin to acknowledge, like, again, if you can't acknowledge or you're not feeling it, sometimes I think people know they're angry, but they're not actually in touch with the feeling.
Yeah.
They know I should be angry in this situation. I've heard people say that I should be really angry here. And I'm thinking, so how come you're not? You know, where is it that you're not angry here?
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Anyone in this situation would feel anger.
Yeah.
And, so I think that acknowledge, like being able to allow yourself to feel safe enough with your own anger,
yeah.
the feeling of anger is the beginning place, is to recognize it and feel it and know, acknowledge, I am angry here and it's okay. I'm safe.
Yeah.
Being angry here.
Yeah.
You know, and then try to explore what is the anger about it for me? Like what is it? Because sometimes it can be quite confusing about why am I angry in this situation? Or sometimes it's really clear. I know exactly why I'm angry.
Yeah.
What we tend to do is, and I think you mentioned earlier, we tend to then go into blame.
Yeah.
Or either denial that I'm angry or into blaming the other person.
Yeah.
And what we need to be able to do is take responsibility for it ourselves.
Yeah.
And to own it.
Yeah.
And to know people have a right to be angry.
Yeah.
Things that create anger.
But I mean, for me, it's a very different thing to be angry or to project your anger onto someone else.
Yes.
That's like, so what the anger that I often see is that you get angry and then you project it.
Absolutely. Because you want to get it off you.
Yes. And that's the unhealthy anger.
Yes.
Being angry and still using like maybe not kind words, but you know, not attacking the other person mm-hmm. verbally.
Actually being truthful. And actually, if you can get to that place of recognizing it, feeling it, allowing yourself to feel it, knowing you can contain the amount of energy that's with the anger, then the next step is to look at, what's the standard in me here that's been broken, or what, you know, what's happened here to me? And sometimes we call it boundaries, but you know, boundaries sometimes are used in a way that can be a cover up for angrily dealing with something.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I have a strong boundary here and you're out of my life.
Yeah.
You've crossed that.
Yeah.
And the person didn't even know it was something they crossed.
No, but then you're being punished.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's an expression of unhealthy anger.
Absolutely.
Because
and
it's
so, yeah,
drawing exactly. the line too strong.
So part of this is to be able to recognize what is it that is generating this in me. And instead of looking at a boundary necessarily, it's more like a standard for myself. What's my standards for me?
Yeah.
How do I want to be in this situation? You know? And the other thing is with sort of, because with boundaries, there's three kinds. Like in my experience, there's three kinds.
Mm-hmm.
One is the wall. That's that boom.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that's important, but it's not often, but it may be important in a case of violation, physical harm, you know, repeated kinds of crossing yeah. or violation of a standard or a boundary that you've set with the person. Then that's the close the door, maybe walk away.
Yeah,
is what needs to happen. But that isn't every time we have to set a boundary, you know. Then there's the porous boundaries. And porous, so I would call that one the rigid boundaries. It's that wall setting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's porous boundaries, which are having none. It's porous. It's that not having a boundary, not being able, just feeling the anger or suppressing the anger about what's happening and just allowing things. It's porous. It comes in.
Mm.
There's no saying no.
Yeah.
Something. There's just a no, there's no no. And that's part of the fawning.
Yeah, that's part of fawning. That builds the suppressed anger.
Absolutely. The healthy boundaries is like an amoeba who knows how to let in the healthy things in life and say no to the things that aren't.
Yeah.
And I think that really is the other side of the anger issue, is to be able to set those kinds of healthy boundaries that say, you know, this is not right for me. This is, you know, it crosses my values. Is to have a conversation with a person. Because sometimes people don't know. We assume they know that this is you don't like, or it's not comfortable for you or whatever. But we have to be able to express that to people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then if they don't honor it, well, that's another problem.
Yeah.
That then becomes another issue that has to be addressed, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, and there's all kinds of boundaries, like self-care boundaries. Am I overextending myself, right?
Yeah.
And this gets to your needs. Am I asking for my needs? That's a boundary issue, really. You know, it's a standard issue for myself. Do I express my needs to people?
Yeah.
Right. Can I say no, and can I say yes?
Mm.
And those are really important things to look at in terms of boundaries. And I think that I had an incident in my own life where there was a situation where I had been tolerating something for quite a long time. And I had never, it sort of started in childhood, and I was in my childhood response to things.
Mm.
Even as a 40-year-old, but I was still the little girl back then in my 40-year-old body. And I remember at one point, and this is when I was doing a lot of healing work and learning work about things like boundaries and expression of anger and so on. And I made a very conscious decision that, okay, if this happens again, here is what I'm going to say. And I even had to practice it.
Mm.
In that I was setting a clear boundary that this was very hurtful to me, that I was feeling dismissed, all the emotions that came up for me and how I experienced it, that it had been happening repeatedly, and yes, I had been allowing it, mm-hmm. and I own that myself. But from now on, it can't happen. It's got to stop. And if it doesn't stop, there's a consequence.
Yeah,
it was that serious for me.
Hmm.
And I had made this, and I knew, I was absolutely certain, it was like, this is going to happen. And do you know what? it never occurred again without me ever having to set a boundary, except inside of me.
Yeah.
And this that is so interesting. Knew it. That person knew there was no longer, was this ever going to happen? And it never, and you know what? There was a tiny little ego part of me that was a little pissed off that I didn't get to set the boundary.
Yeah.
And be really, but I really, it was such a learning.
Yeah, the entitlement.
This was not about the other person.
No.
This was about me.
And that's what we come back to all the time. And that is one of the main messages that I wanna, that I have. And that is that it's all, everything starts with the inside. Everything, whatever you want in life, either it's a peace of mind, like emotional freedom, like for myself, but also in the life that I want to create. It's like the external is only a representation of the internal, like 100% mirror.
Exactly, a reflection back on me. Yeah. And that's why for me, it's like, what are my standards for myself in
exactly.
my life? Rather than even calling them boundaries sometimes. And I know people will struggle with that because this is where that standard comes from. It comes from my standards for me.
Yeah.
And I have taught people in my situation, I have taught that person how to treat me.
Yes, I don't know who said that, but you teach people how to treat you. That just stuck with me.
And I had.
Yeah, me too. I mean, everyone does.
Yes, exactly. And so it's recognizing that and taking ownership for it and responsibility in myself and making a different choice and decision and being prepared to follow through, because you can have all the boundaries in the world, but if you don't follow through and hold them in a appropriate relational way with others, then it won't happen, you know.
We're back to the people pleasing and the nervous system response and the fact that we at some point weren't feeling safe and that we need to kind of go back and deal with that.
Exactly. Which isn't allowing you to be the adult in the situation that's able to set that kind of standard for yourself.
I mean, this is, for me, it's like, this work is like everything. If you do this work, then everything will change. Your whole life will change. And it doesn't matter if it's the anger or the sadness or whatever blockages you have in your life. It's just going to elevate you to places that you couldn't even comprehend how good things are going to get when you start to live by your purpose, live in your own truth, being able to express that in a healthy way. Being emotionally balanced, I mean, being grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is a life journey.
It is.
You know, it's a life journey. You know, it's like, you know, one of the questions that I have found very helpful in my own life, whether it's around boundaries or perhaps I'm afraid to set a boundary with someone or set a standard or even just having a conversation about something that's really important to me that I value, that is about my what I value and is important, is that I always ask myself two things. One is, what will happen if I don't do it?
Mm.
And what am I afraid that might happen?
Mm.
And which do I choose?
Yeah, which is one is worst?
Yeah, for you.
Or which one is better? Yeah.
Yeah, and which one is better, yeah. And and I think that, you know, in some circumstances, maybe if you think the consequence is going to be quite severe, you do make a choice to not.
Yeah.
You know, if it could be violence or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Happening. The other situation though is, what if I don't do it? This is going to keep on going on forever and ever.
Yeah.
And am I prepared to live like that?
Mm.
You know. So they're usually important questions, and I think like. Doing this work again, if you're starting with even just beginning to recognize your own anger in yourself, as we've said in the last call, was that it's important to have support around this. This is not easy work.
Yeah.
And suddenly things change because you listen to a podcast about it. We know that's not necessary. You might have some ahas and insights and some motivation, but getting support for the work is important.
Yeah. How do you work with people, Simba, when they come with unexpressed or suppressed anger?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think seeing the need is a big thing, but also, I mean, anyone, regardless if they come with anger or not, I usually establish the standard of the interaction, because it is a fresh interaction. And when you're in a fresh interaction, you can actually establish, okay, so what is your boundaries? Like, what's okay? How would I know if I crossed your boundary, and how, you know, what can we use a word, right? I say, okay, you're starting to close into a boundary with me. I can use a word. The word doesn't mean that I won't talk to you, I will shame you. No, it just means like, okay, now this is going out of hand, right? So we kind of, I create this mutual language and understanding of how we can communicate. And I also focus a lot on allowing people to explore it, because a lot of people are afraid of retaliation. They're afraid of violence, any form. Right, they think that anger has to do with violence, or that someone's going to get angry back and retaliate at them. And it's like, well, you're screaming, you're not screaming at me, right? So why should I get angry at you? I can feel that there is anger in you, but I'm not going to take it personal, because I know it's not about me. And when they start to see that, then they usually can go, no, that's new. Right, then I can express it in a container where I'm not, you know, someone can say if I'm going too far, right? Like, they can say the boundary, but they're there still. There's nothing, like, the consequence doesn't have to be drastic. It's just guiding someone through it. So I think, yeah, and kind of setting up that language, you know, that barrier of what are our boundaries, so you know from the beginning that you don't have to be trying to find a boundary, right? I know a lot of people I work with are kind of like, what we're most afraid of that can happen to us, that's what they throw out. Okay, I'm afraid you're gonna abandon me. So I'm going to attack this person as hard as I can and see what happens. So I get it out straight away, and then I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then if nothing really happens back, they start their boundary. Like I say, okay, well, you know, this is a boundary, but where does this come from? And we continue to work, like, connected to where you feel it in the body. And the body usually shows them a memory, a sensation, or they start to get the indigestion or pain somewhere, or headaches, or... And then all of a sudden they remember maybe something that happened, and that's a way of processing it without making it kind of going back and forward, because that's usually how they're, I guess, used to doing, right? Just sending it back and forward until you both get tired, but no one has actually released the anger. We just got super tired.
So how important is it to ground the nervous system when you work with anger?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's...
I mean, would it be true to say that it's one of the most? I mean, it's back to the people pleasing, right? It's like it's a nervous system response, but it also becomes a behavior. Mm-hmm. That, like, we need to work on the behavior, and we also need to ground the nervous system.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if people are in that fight response and have been there for a long time, and they're high in that fight response, their capacity to contain their anger is very small. Like, some little thing can happen and suddenly they're in a rage.
Yeah.
That's somebody whose nervous system is quite highly activated in their sympathetic nervous system. If that comes down through the practices like TRE or other practices, then there's more room for the person to grab hold of the anger and work with it.
Yeah.
But if there's someone who is that very highly charged in their nervous system, they need to calm their nervous system down, because you can't really, and they'll tell you, I can't control it. They're right.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're not responsible to create a change in it, but they're right. It's poof.
Yeah. Goes so fast. So explosive. Fast.
Yeah.
So explosive.
And that is really working with their nervous system response. Yeah.
Yeah. I would actually say, like, there's three things. It's like working with the nervous system response, but also holding the emotional space for the person to express or explore the anger, as Simba said, and maybe also to go to the root cause and see if there's another emotion that is deeper could be abandonment or sadness or, yeah, like you expressed, but then also the behavior. So it's like three parts almost.
And maybe a fourth.
Oh.
Is when this is what Simba was talking about, is modeling.
Yeah.
How to express.
Yeah.
And hold and have boundaries. Yeah. How to have that communication.
Yeah.
And having it with somebody who you feel safe with, right?
Yeah.
And that's holding space. But the next step is that the person they're holding space with,
yeah,
is clear in themselves enough.
Yeah, yeah.
That they can be that model about how we do this, because that's how people learn.
Yeah.
And they have a real experience of what it's like to be with somebody who's safe and has good boundaries or can communicate those boundaries, and but also can contain something that for most of that person's life was too frightening to express, because either it got retaliation when they did, or they were abandoned or rejected, but there's some negative experience that has taught them to keep it suppressed.
Yeah.
And to have a different experience with someone that they can start saying it and sharing it and actually feeling it and expressing it is important.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens here at our center when people come here. And after a while, when they start to feel safe, they start to express the things that haven't been expressed before, because it's like a family setup here. Mm-hmm. It's like there's people living here, and me and Simba are sometimes representing the female and the masculine, the feminine and the masculine, but also the mother and the father, even though we are not treating people like they are our children, but we are modeling and representing those energies, which is very interesting when it comes to anger, because it also feels like the energies in the side of the person is very mixed up. So I feel like we're going through all of those stages often with people who are here, and learning and also feeling safe enough to work through it.
And that's the key, is safety, creating enough safety in the environment that they can begin to start creating safety inside.
Yeah.
Really, it's about not being safe
with
their own anger, because anger was not safe.
Yeah. And for me, that then anger is just one expression, because it's the lack of safety that usually is like more or less creating every single problem that we have in our lives, that they stem from usually a early sign of feeling not safe, but they can be multiple. I mean, they can happen any time in their life, but I mean, that's the whole point of the place that we have here, is that everything is made to make people feel safe and to allow the system to start to express what it is that needs to be expressed, whether it's anger or shame or guilt or whatever it is, happiness.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, positive emotions aren't safe.
Yes, exactly. So it's like it's a center to recalibrate yourself.
Cool. Yeah. Well, and I think that working with this is important, because and maybe working it in a group setting is really interesting, because all the triggers of life happen when you're in a group.
You have to be exposed to the things that trigger you, otherwise you don't know that you need to work with it.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
cool. That's great.
All right, any last words, Simba?
No, I think you really nailed it with the safety, right? You asked, like, how important is grounding, right, when it comes to dealing with anger. And I said, like, you know, if there's no grounding, there won't be any safety, right? And no matter what kind of tool you do, it's going to be hard if there's not a level of grounding to do, right? Because it's just going to be looping. There's tools that can help you in the moment when you're in that loop of that anger or that expression of high activation in the nervous system, but I think the grounding really creates an awareness, and it can start to create a safety, and also just showing different pathways, like you were saying, Joan, right? Like, oh, this is usually what happened in my life when I was feeling anger in the past, right? And now I have a different, like, why aren't you screaming back at me? When is the blow going to come? But it's going to, you know, the system gets all confused. And then after a while, like, wow, that really was just a situation that I was in for a long time. And I believe that was the whole world. And, you know, we kind of, that's how we form our minds. I think grounding is really a way to have a new experience with a similar emotion, right? Like this kind of retrained experience. I don't have to feel like this. Mm-hmm. Or even when I feel like this, I don't have to do the same. I don't have to respond in the same way, you know? Mm.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add too, when you were talking about the safety piece, is that safety can be supported externally in the external environment, but the real safety is safety within their own bodies.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And I think that's why the nervous system work, you know, doing tremoring can help to reconnect the body to that inner safety. And that is key, because without that, you can have all the external sort of safety on the outside, but unless it's connected to some level of safety inside, it won't be experienced that way.
No.
That's really, I think, important that, especially when people have, you know, we have all kinds of degrees of working with anger, but you know, the lack of safety, deep lack of inner safety, yeah. Probably requires a lot of therapeutic work.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, so what do we say to people? Because if they like, yeah, this all sounds great, but what the heck do I do when I just explode? It's like I have no tools, I have no resources. I mean, I listen to this and it sounds theoretically correct, but it's like, what do I do?
Well, one is if acknowledging that that's an issue in your life and that you want to do something about it, it does require, I think, to seek out support and help with it. Yeah. And I think that in some cases, there may need to be that kind of level of therapeutic work. In other situations, it may not require that kind of depth of therapeutic work, but it requires the kind of environment that you folks, you know, create and provide people with. So I think that people need to check it out for themselves. What do I think I need? Like if they're in touch enough with themselves to know what might I need here. But if people are really afraid to move into this kind of work, then that's a signal, you know, that they probably need a lot of support.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the way that I feel like the inner work is such a transformative way to go, and how much you can change your life. I mean, for me, it's been the most valuable investment that I've ever done in my whole life. Nothing that I've spent money on has been more rewarding than on myself. That's been massive, because there is ways to, I mean, you can work through anything. It's
absolutely.
Yeah. So what I usually recommend people is to find someone that they trust and someone who has done what they want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Like you resonate to what they have to say and what they've been through, and you feel a level of trust with them. Because if you don't feel a level of trust with the people that is going to hold space for you, nothing will change, because you will be in an unsafe container trying to contain to create safety, which is just waste of time, money, energy. Everyone's just like, so like whoever you feel drawn to work with, go to that person and ask for support. Yes. And if you feel like what we are saying is resonating, then we have many different options to work with any like suppressed emotion or the nervous system. I mean, one of the things that we are deeply doing is the nervous system work and holding the space. So either coming to the center or doing mentorship programs or one-on-one sessions online, I mean, it all depends on the level of support that the person needs. Mm-hmm. And if one really needs to make a deep nervous system upgrade or change, then the TRE provider program is phenomenal. I mean, when I did the TRE provider program, I didn't put the pressure on myself that I had to work with someone else. I did it because I saw the change in Simba when he did it with anger, with all the kinds of different emotions that we carry with us from the past. Mm-hmm. So there's so much to do. So I really want to inspire hope and change in people. And if you feel like you resonate with what we say, just DM us and we will set up a consultation, no strings attached, to see what we can do for you.
Great.
Yeah. All right. So Joan will be staying in Chiang Mai longer than we thought. So
yeah, longer than I thought for sure.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
But so we will be continuing to do online stuff with you, no matter where you are.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you, and thank you for our conversation today. I always love these because, the questions and the comments they make me think and explore. And I'm the kind of person that sometimes doesn't know what I think until I speak it. That's part of my personality style. So I'm always surprised sometimes with what I even say.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That made sense to me. So I hopefully it's been helpful to your listeners. And that is exactly what this is all about. So
yeah.
Thank you for asking me to be here. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. And I'll see you next time.
Wonderful.
All right. So if you do want to know more about us, visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, or reach out on any social media. We are happy to respond. Thank you so much. Lots of love.